you have this small child who doesn't understand anything, even in their own language. They're like, what is life? And you're like, blue, yellow.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Critic Hunter Podcast. So this week we talked to Matt from Game Gengo. And this is actually the third Matt that we've talked to on the podcast. But this time, this Matt is actually in Japan. But anyways, if you don't know Matt already, he runs a channel where he teaches practical Japanese from Japanese video games. And in the podcast, we talk about his journey with Japan, Japanese, his experience living there, working there, and his channel as well.
But real quick, I just want to go and address some comments from our last week's video, which was regarding my haircut. And to that, my response is, make sure to smash the like button if you liked my haircut. Or if you didn't like it, smash the like button for that too. But I hope you guys enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, so Matt in Japan, can you give us a quick background?
Yeah.
Of who you are and where you're at today?
Yeah, sure. Matt in Japan. So, I've been living in Japan for maybe 6 to 10 years. I don't know exactly how long. I first came here in 2011. Ever since then, I decided to spend the rest of my life in Japan. I was kind of trying to look for purpose in my life when I was younger, and I wasn't really too sure exactly what road I wanted to go down, who I wanted to become in the future. And it was kind of quite overwhelming at that time in my, you know, early 20s and constantly asking why. And when I finally kind of broke and snapped and was like, screw it, let's go to Japan. I just fell in love with the country and everything just kind of clicked. And I realized, hang on a second, everything I love in life is connected to Japan in some way or another, right? So why not try, you know, going there? Why not try living there? And so I kind of went overboard and really planned everything out and did a lot of research. And so now I've set my life goal to living in Japan, mastering Japanese and living the good life. And that's what I've been doing. And just, I've been working as a teacher. I'm now at a university, and I decided to, for a long time, I've wanted to start a YouTube channel. Ages ago, I was always interested in making YouTube. And I kind of decided, well, what if I combine all of my passions together, right? My passion for gaming, my passion for video editing, my passion for Japanese, my passion for Japan, my passion for all kinds of things, put it all together and create Game Gengo. And so, yeah.
What an introduction here we got.
Yes. No.
I felt inspired just listening to it.
No.
Built it up all the way. But I guess we can start. I guess we can go rewind a little bit here in terms of you mentioned that Japan and Japanese had just a lot to do with your life, and then you decided to make that move. But I guess how did you actually just get involved with Japanese as a language to begin with?
When I decided to move to Japan, when I was looking at being interested in around 2011, I started off actually with video games. That was where I first started, because I wanted to kind of enjoy playing a bunch of Japanese games in Japanese. So I booted up things like Final Fantasy VII and Dragon Quest and all that, and tried to play. And at that time, it was crazy difficult. Spending like an hour on one little block of text trying to translate everything and write it down by hand, and it was ridiculous. So I decided after that it was, I needed some more focus. And so I, studied at university, Japanese there. And so that's kind of what got me started.
So did you just go to Japan after you graduated?
Yeah. In my third year of Japanese, I studied abroad, in the Kansai region for a year. And then I met a bunch of friends and met lots of people here for a year. And in that time, I cram studied from like the N5 level to the N2 level in that 1 year, and graduated back at home. And then I moved here after that.
I see. So you're at that N2 level by the time you came to Japan for the second time, or to when you decided to live there?
Yeah. So I came here with N2-ish level, maybe a little bit halfway to N1 because time had passed. And yeah.
Right. When it comes to studying for the JLPT versus actual, like, using Japanese in real life, there's usually a discrepancy, right? So would you say that you felt like you had N2 level because you were kind of immersed in Japan while you were there versus you're just kind of cramming for the test?
I actually don't really recommend doing what I did. I mostly crammed for the test. I did Anki. I was practically a data entry machine for Anki, putting thousands of words in my head. I mostly crammed for the test. It wasn't really because I was in Japan. I actually, through that experience, have learned that being in Japan doesn't help you at all. It doesn't help you at all, because you can actually get by with English for the most part. If you're living in Japan, you're probably going to be teaching English. It's a very common job. And you might even be talking with friends in English. You're likely to have a partner who speaks English. So it's actually not that much of a benefit living in Japan as far as Japanese goes. You kind of have to make it your own personal effort to actually try and use Japanese. You know, go out there and meet people, go out there and talk in Japanese, you know. Yeah, it's definitely, I think that's why you see people who have lived here for like 10 years and they can't speak Japanese, right? Because you can kind of get stuck in this bubble of safety of English. So you kind of need to push yourself no matter what. Yeah.
Right. And then, so you said you went and taught English, like when you initially went back, that's how you got
yeah.
to Japan. So where was that?
In Kansai. I decided to live here in Kansai because I'd already kind of set up roots with that year at study abroad. So I've kind of wanted to stay in that group with Kansai. So yeah, I worked at an Eikaiwa for a bit. That was pretty tough, tough stuff. Teaching all the way from 94-year-olds to 6 months old.
Really?
Yeah. So that was pretty difficult. No. It's ridiculous. You're pretty much just like a babysitter. But you have to try because it's your job. So
they're like,
you
know, where am I?
You have this small child who doesn't understand anything, even in their own language. They're like, what is life? And you're like, blue, yellow. pretty difficult. Pretty difficult working at an Eikaiwa sometimes.
What was the moment they brought that 6 month year, that 6 month old to you? You're like, all right, I gotta go. I gotta leave. Like, this isn't it.
It was that and the kindergarten age kids, they don't really understand personal boundaries and things like that. So they do all kinds of just not acceptable stuff, even like spitting and things like that, just really gross stuff. And it was just like, I don't need to put up with this. So I went to greener pastures.
It kind of sounds like there was a specific incident that made you quit.
not a specific one, but just overall, yeah. It's working Eikaiwa was tough. Like, it's really, really tough. You have to work weekends. You have to work late at night. So you're free during the day. So like, you don't work. You start work at like noon. And then you work until like 10 p.m. So that ruins your entire ability to have a social life, to go out and have dinner, to go shopping, do all kinds of stuff. And then they take your weekend as well. So it's tough. Like, it's really just
a, so, oh, not, so it's not like really set, 7 life. Days a week.
It was 5 or 6 was oh. what I did, not 7. Yeah. Yeah, you had one day off, sometimes 2 days off. However, the 2 days off were never together. Always separate.
How they get you.
So you had to, so you work, you get Saturday, you work Sunday, and you get Monday off. So it's pretty rough.
So I guess then what exactly were the greener pastures ahead?
Yeah, so eventually I managed to get a job working at a university. And I tried to get into a whole bunch of translation jobs as well and sat a bunch of interviews in Japanese, which was interesting. But I was really happy when I got the chance to work at a university. So I've just been staying there ever since because it's just such a fantastic job. It's great. Everything is just perfect. So, yeah.
You can't have 6 month olds coming in if they can't get into the university.
Yeah, got those gates with those security guards. You can't come in.
Got them.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you have to, like, the random, like, Tensai, she's just, like, there.
the six-month-old university student coming in.
The genius 8-month-old who knows advanced mathematics and
it's yeah. like the boss baby.
But yeah, I guess like throughout this period, how much did you, would you say like your Japanese was improving? Like especially like Eikaiwa period where you said like it's harder to have a social life.
Yeah, so during when I was working at an Eikaiwa, I was working as hard as I could to get out of an Eikaiwa. So during my lunch break where I got like 30 minutes, I would be in the classroom, the small little box that they make you teach in, and I would be cramming for the N1 while I was having lunch. And I was always studying. I would come in a little bit early just so I could get some study done and just constantly studying. During that period, though, I didn't really have too much free time. So I wasn't really able to practice speaking or anything like that. It was mostly kind of just cramming and wanting to get out of Eikaiwa.
Yeah, you're glitching for a second there.
Yeah.
I see. So was the N1 kind of your ticket out of the Eikaiwa then into the university?
At the time I thought that N1 was the way out because I actually wanted to become a game translator and work on games. I thought that was kind of the best kind of option for me. I thought, well, you know, I've dedicated myself to Japanese. I want to master Japanese. So, you know, a translator kind of makes sense. I think for my personality, I'm much more of a teacher than I am a writer. I don't really do any writing in my free time or anything. I don't have really any history of writing or being, writing a novel or anything like that. However, I do have a lot of history teaching. I do have my family, most of them are teachers. I spent even my childhood, I used to help people, you know, with advice and stuff like that. So it's more of a connection to who I am. So when I got the university job, it was like a dream come true. It was perfect because I was able to finally be myself, and actually, you know, have a good job in Japan is a super rare thing. Very happy with that.
So would you say now you have like more chances to speak Japanese and improve?
Yep. Now I have much more chances to speak Japanese and improve because, obviously I'm teaching, adults, right? Young adults.
Right.
So they all can, they understand, you know, things. They understand, you know, how the world works, people, you know, video games, all that kind of stuff, right? You have things you can connect with them. You can't really connect with, 6-month-old.
Those six-month-olds.
Talk about philosophy and... it gives you more chance to talk. For people at university, it's not really the time to cram study. It's more of the reward, right? They've been working so hard their whole life to get to university. And so now is kind of their time that they're finally like, yay, I've made it. So a lot of students kind of open up and kind of be a little bit more social and talkative and not just wanting to look into the books and just cram. They're starting to make friends. They want to talk. So you do get exposed to a lot of Japanese. And sometimes you need to give instructions in Japanese if they aren't paying attention or something. So it does give you some practice, yeah.
You got all the vocabulary for, hey, you're not paying attention down.
Yeah, sometimes my students try and teach me some Japanese phrases that are like slang, but I would never use them because they're like really like young people slang. I can't even remember any right now, but... But yeah.
Right. Are you going to go make a video guide on that?
Yeah, young people language. Yeah, I'll just start taking notes every time. Oh, okay, I'll write that down.
And like for the B-roll going on, is this going to be like a video of your students just sitting there in like class
hidden,
or something?
Hidden footage.
Yeah. Oh, man. So did you end up taking the N1 at the end after you're at the Eikaiwa? Or when you're out there?
Yeah, so I crammed for the N1. I did the N1, and I was really, really sleepy at the time because I was cramming as much as I could, and I didn't have much time with the Eikaiwa. Right. So I was super sleepy. I think I did an all-nighter, and then I went sit the N1. I did the N1, and I failed by 1%. Oh. 1% I failed, and I was like, ah, that sucks.
Right.
So I spent the next, I don't know, 6 months or a year studying N1, but I was also kind of growing off it because I realized it's not really that important. It's a lot of like old Japanese. Like there's one phrase that always comes to my mind that I had to learn in the textbooks was ikan niyorazu. And no one uses that, but I had to learn it. Why? Because it's in the test. And that's when I kind of realized that maybe it doesn't really matter that much having the N1. It's more about the piece of paper. So I started to get back into games, playing games and reading books and things like that. And I sat the test again. And I failed by 1%.
Oh, man.
So I was like, nope, that's it. That's fate. I'm not doing this. Bye-bye.
So you got the same score.
I'm not interested anymore. What's that?
You got the same score.
So I got a different allocation of points in different areas because there's reading and listening and stuff. But it was that 1% again.
Damn.
And I was just like, I don't care. Like, it really doesn't matter because the language that I'm trying to learn to do the N1 doesn't help me in any way. It doesn't improve my ability to do anything. It's kind of more like academic Japanese. And so it's, yeah. I was just like, nah, I'm cool.
Right. So then you're kind of able to, like, all right, we don't need the N1 anymore after tragically missing it by
freedom! Yeah.
So then when you went to get the job at the university, it was pretty much just based off the interview, and you're just able to ace that, and it was just, you're all good?
Yeah. So the person that I interviewed was actually my boss, and he's such a great guy. Seriously, like, just one of the best people I've ever met. We ended up just talking for, like, 2 hours, just chatting, like this, right? Really friendly chatting for like 2 hours. And we just connected really well. And he contacted me a month or so later, and yeah.
It's like a Korekara job interview now. All right, Matt, you're now applying for the Korekara University. Korekara.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine
that might
like
be a leak, actually.
An angry, like, what would an angry chat look like if they were just angry for 2 hours?
It's scary, man. Like, sitting a Japanese interview, like a traditional one, is intense. So I applied for a translation job, a translation interpreter job, and they have like a lineup of like three people sitting there on their desk in this kind of, you know, white room that looks like an interrogation room. Three people lined up with their little checklist and their boards, and they're, you know, asking you questions and noting down with like expressionless faces. it's super intimidating, all in Japanese. And you have to do everything perfect and the Japanese way as well. It's pretty intense doing a Japanese interview. Yeah.
Oh man. So they're just out there just giving you the look.
Yeah, the whole time. Like it's very scary. And so it was an absolute breath of fresh air when I met my boss, and had my interview with him, and it was like, oh my God, this guy is the coolest guy I've ever met.
He doesn't like look at me like that.
They give you those eyes when you say you don't have N1. They're just like,
really?
And they're like writing down a lot of stuff.
Write that down.
Like a lot of writing. No N1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
you made a grammar mistake. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder what they would be writing down in their entire essay of why you don't have N1, so you can't have the job. But I'm sure there's something there. They always have something. Yeah. They're probably just drawing something, honestly.
I'm just drawing a picture of my stupid face. They're like, he has a big nose.
Yeah. And they're practicing for their job as an animator in the anime.
Yeah, just like I was doing cramming for the N1. They're like, they're not really into it.
maybe that's what they do in Japan. Because, I mean, having those panels, it's like exhausting for everyone involved, right? Yeah. So if you just get people who are trying to do like portraits of people, you know, it just makes sense, right? Like, you get what you want, and they get what they want, you know, a still person. Because if you move, then
I feel like there might be a lot of silence, though. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of silence. Right? They're just like drawing them down, like,
because they're all distracted. Yeah, they're like, doing that thing.
What's going on right now?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we gotta find. Well, maybe there's like one guy who's actually asking questions, and then these guys are just on the side, just doing their thing. Right. And you just hear, like, when no one's talking, you just hear the pencil going. And it's like kind of scribbling the.
Maybe they have their
scribbling
phone,
the drawing, like, the shading,
their
and
phone
everything
is behind
yeah.
the clipboard or something, and they're just using the phone.
Oh yeah,
and like, you hear like
cover
a,
in a book,
you
and,
hear
yeah.
like someone playing like Instagram story or something. And they immediately shut
and
it
a notification
off.
Pops up, and I go, crap. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, playing Candy Crush, and you see, you're like, sweet, tasty.
But they don't even mute the phone, they just have it.
Like, they just have it there. I mean, if you say anything, like, you're just going to lose the job, right? So, I mean,
that's true.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'd be like that. But one thing that you mentioned, Matt, that I thought was pretty interesting was after you tragically didn't get the N1 by 1%, you kind of went back towards immersion, right? And
yep.
And so would you say going back towards immersion really helped your Japanese in the end?
Yes, and that was what really helped me. And that was when I was like, oh, hey, this is what's important, right? So I spent several years just like cramming in as much just separate words as I could. Now, they were with sentences, but it was just a word with a sentence. And I would spend all my time trying to cram in that one word. And it left me with a really empty impression and empty understanding of that language. So it was kind of like just data entry. That's really what it felt like. I was just entering a piece of data into my head, and I was like, ah, tabemono, ah, osake, and just like remembering the words like a data entry job.
Right.
I wasn't really getting a feel for how the language was used. I wasn't really understanding how the language is used when you see it. Is it really important? Do you really need to know this? It was just kind of all being treated at the same level. Rare Japanese, common Japanese, it was all just the same data entry point that you're putting into your head. When I started immersing, when I started playing video games, when I started watching manga, watching anime, reading manga, reading books, that was when I really started actually seeing Japanese, not just a piece of data. And that's when it kind of clicked for me. This is fun. This is real Japanese. This is like, this is what I think is the important way of doing it. If you just focus on just the data for the test, I don't really think you're really getting Japanese. You're just kind of, it's really just like cramming for a test, right? You're just like, oh, A, B, C. Yeah, I know Japanese. Whereas if you immerse, you actually get a good feel for how the language is used, how important pieces of language are used. You get a more native feel for when it's correct, when it's not correct. And so, yeah, I really just started to immerse, went back into immersion with video games and novels and things like that.
I see. And we have a huge audience for us that are hardcore into the immersion grind. Well, I guess not everyone, right, yeah. but we have a lot of people who really learn languages through immersion. It's not just Japanese. It's every language possible. Like, we got some Esperanto immersers. I'm just kidding. Well, maybe. I'm not sure.
We're going to immerse them. There's no,
like, hey, you know, we don't
there's
talk
no dramas in Esperanto.
Maybe there is, dude. Maybe
there is.
Yeah, maybe you guys go.
Maybe there's a dub. Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys know about that, you should let us know on our Discord.
Fandom.
But
yeah. One.
But Matt, I did want to ask you. I mean, we have so many people looking for immersion, and I mean, you've immersed in so much. Do you have maybe a couple recommendations on immersion that are like video games or novels that people might be able to enjoy, or anime?
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail.
Tell us about the Trinity.
I think more importantly than any specific title is your interest and the tools that you have. I think those two things are more important. There are great titles out there that will be useful, but I don't think it's necessarily all that useful to say this is the thing everyone should use to learn, because you might not be interested, right? I remember when I was learning Japanese, everyone said, what was it, Yotsuba? I think it was the name of the manga, and the Panda Express manga or something like that, Shirokuma or something like that.
I read both of them. They were like recommended.
Oh, really? Right.
So boring.
Exactly.
Terrible.
Everyone recommends them. Everyone says, you must do them. They're the beginner. I couldn't make it through the first couple of panels. And so obviously it's not necessarily useful for everyone, right? But what is more useful is you being interested in it. If there's something you're interested in, great. For example, I like video games, Final Fantasy VII, great. Then the next thing that's really important is your tools that you use to help you. And so, for example, if you can get a video game that has a game script, that helps amazingly. Because then you can actually read along with, while you play, you can actually have a look on your browser. You play the game, you look at the browser, you can just like highlight the word with like Yomi-chan or something, and you can instantly see the answer of the word. Rather than have to, you know, hunt, oh, kanji stroke order, what's this word? You can just instantly see what it is, right?
Right.
I think that's really useful for beginners. And you can get the similar experience through things like Kindle. If you have a Kindle book, pick your favorite book and read it in Kindle, and you can just highlight the words, you can just press the button, and then you'll be able to read the definition and everything. That's quite useful as well. You can use that on PC as well if you have like text files. So that's, for me personally, that's what I think is the most important thing, right? Because you might not like Yotsuba, you might like Death Note. And Death Note's actually a really good manga. It uses a lot of kind of standard Japanese, so it's actually pretty good. But yeah, that's more importantly. I do have personal things that I think is great. Like, for example, I think personally, I think 13 Sentinels is one of the greatest games for learning. I think visual novels are good if you can stomach them. if you're a person who can play visual novels, good for you. You've got one of the greatest tools to help you learn Japanese. Sometimes you can even play with English and Japanese subtitles at the same time. The thing like Nintendo Detective Club on Nintendo Switch, that's amazing because it has voice acting and furigana. If you have voice acting and furigana, you have the Holy Grail when it comes to video games. That's the best. There's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if Game Gengo says that it's the Holy Grail of video games, it is the Holy Grail of video games. Cemented. But I know, I think that, No, I think that was a great answer, though. I mean, you pretty much covered everything and more with the question. It's probably one of the best answers we've gotten to that, you know? Most of the time, people will just go and say their favorite anime, and then we just laugh at them. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that.
Well, you like that.
It's always this reoccurring genre, but I won't mention it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that is true. It's always the genre. And finally, we've gone past the genre. We haven't gone and mentioned it at all.
Oh. I'm trying to guess what the genre is, and my brain's going places I'm not sure it should go.
Yeah, that's exactly where the genre is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you could learn Japanese that way, yeah? You might learn weird pronunciation, but... It might throw the pitch accent conversation out the window with the...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just glad we're going in this direction this time. It's a breath of fresh air. You love to see it.
Thanks.
No, but I think this is also like a good kind of segue into your channel, because this is pretty much what you do, right? I mean, you've taken all this time that you've immersed in games because that's what you love to do, and you decide to go and kind of provide this as a resource for everyone to help them enjoy the games as well, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I kind of rushed into things at the beginning when I introduced myself. I was kind of a bit, first beginning stutters, I suppose. But yeah, the reason why I started Game Gengo was because I didn't enjoy learning Japanese at university. I thought it was boring, useless, and slow. I didn't like it. It wasn't very focused on me as a learner. It was just focused on the teacher ticking the things that they need to cover, and then that's it, already. And I didn't really enjoy that experience. And then I looked at the Japanese learning environment, and I don't really enjoy any of the options that are out there, personally. My younger self, when I was learning Japanese, still wasn't happy with how to learn Japanese. It just doesn't seem very fun. It doesn't seem very interesting, right? It's mostly cram Anki all day, every day until your head explodes, or go to classes and take lessons or have a tutor. That's like the options you have. And then there's other stuff like RTK. And at the time, Wani Kani was still just starting out. But still, that's kind of an Anki program, right? And so when I've been looking forward to Final Fantasy Remake my entire life, man. Like, ever since Final Fantasy VII came out in like 1997, I've been looking forward to the remake, right? Just imagining what it would be like, you know, in greater graphics, bigger scale, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when it finally came, I was so caught up in how amazing the game was. And I remember I got to chapter 8 where Aerith was on the church, and I was like, I have to do this. I have to make my channel, Game Gengo, where you can learn Japanese through video games. Because as I was playing Final Fantasy VII, I was like, oh my God, this would be such a good learning tool. This is such a great game for learning Japanese. Oh my God, this would be so fun. And all these ideas were just like bursting into my head finally, thanks to obviously the lockdown. So I wasn't like distracted with all kinds of stuff like Eikaiwa and stuff. But also just enjoying Final Fantasy VII, it just kind of made me, all of my interests just kind of came together, and I was like, I have to do this, right? This is what my younger self would have liked to have had available to them. You know, if you love video games, you love Japanese, well, there's no answer for that, right? So let's do it. I can do it. Hey, I've got all the tools. Let's do it. So I decided to make Game Gengo. And that's why Final Fantasy VII was the beginning, how I started it off. Because that was what I was playing at the time, and it was kind of what gave me that burst of motivation, and where it all clicked together.
Yeah, I mean, you can't forget the controller too, the most Final Fantasy VII inspired controller I've ever seen as your profile picture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's come to that time where we have to ask you the most important question of maybe the entire year, maybe even more than that, but that is
your life.
This question is more important than the meaning of life right here, and that is, what is your message to the Korekara squad, Matt? I know this is a huge question to be asking. I know the lights are shining brighter than they ever have before, but it's what everyone's been listening, everyone's been waiting for, so.
Yeah, if you're interested in learning Japanese, and maybe you're finding it a little bit difficult, maybe you're finding it overwhelming, maybe you're finding it boring, maybe you're just finding, you know, it not clicking for you, my personal advice would be, find what you enjoy. That's the number one most important thing. Find what you enjoy and find ways to help you enjoy it, right? So find, for example, a manga that you want to read or a TV show you want to watch, and then find a tool that helps you do that. We live in an amazing age where there are so many useful tools out there that can help you do things. You can watch Netflix with subtitles, and you can watch dual language at the same time. You could, as I said, with game scripts, find game scripts to help you study. We have image reading software on phones and programs. Find a tool that helps you do what you want to do. I think there are way too many people out there who make study a stressful, overbearing kind of pressure, right? And I don't think it needs to be that. I don't think you need to pressure yourself. There's no race. You're not competing against anyone. You should just enjoy your own journey, enjoy learning Japanese, find the way that you enjoy it. And I think if you do that, you're going to end up with a much more enriched experience. You're going to have much more fun doing it in the process. If you want to play Final Fantasy VII in Japanese, do it. Go and play that game and take it slow. That's fine. Don't feel bad about that. Just go through it. Do your best. And if you know, if you don't enjoy that, if you find that that doesn't work for you, no problem. Try something else, right? Don't feel bad about changing direction. As long as you're making a step every day in, you know, the direction you want to go, you'll get there eventually, right? So just don't worry about it. Just have fun, keep going, and you'll make the progress, right? Yes, it will appear overwhelming at the beginning, but you will make it. You really will. If you just keep at it, you'll definitely make the progress, and everything will be okay, and you'll wake up one day and you'll be like, oh my God, I understand everything. Cool. So, yeah.
Very inspiring message coming out, Matt. That was one hell of a Korekara message. I mean, I can see how long you've been preparing for that. This is really amazing to see.
It came from the heart.
But no, I think that's going to be really helpful for a lot of the Korekara listeners. And I mean, we share a really similar sentiment too, that it should be enjoyable. It doesn't matter how long the journey is. Just 1% every day in the right direction. So I mean, love to hear it, Matt. Love to have you on the podcast here today. It's been a pleasure having you on. It's been a great time.
Thank you very much.
Really fun. And I mean, we'll catch you on the next one, right?
Oh, thank you very much, guys. Yeah, see you again another time.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for making it to the end of the podcast. Let us know in the comments your favorite Japanese video game.
And of course, we gotta go shout out our patrons. Cedric Frost, Kevin Casby, Alfar, Drew, Jack, Jeanette, Joey Cage, 90 Meredith, MKSXN, Nathan Polars, Yui, Brit Version, Ham, Quaid, and Sad Boy.
Peace.